All right. Well, now tonight, I felt like the Holy Spirit, his instruction was to go all the way back to the beginning and relay some groundwork for the foundation of calling in the lost from when we first began doing this, which, by the way, the first calling in the lost service was February 8th, 1997. Can I say it's been a spell? That's what, 21 years? All right. You know, there's been a lot of people saved during that time from the intercession that has gone forward from this place. Dave would give the testimony of his own relatives that came into the kingdom in the supernatural way that they came in. See, and a lot of times, I mean, I used to brag all the time that all of my children and all of my grandchildren lived within 5 miles of me, and that was true. But that's not true anymore. I've got a grandson now that lives in Colorado. I've got a daughter that lives in Montana. I've got another granddaughter living in around Chicago. So when your relatives are living along, and thank God they're all saved, but when you have like relatives or loved ones that live other states or other countries around the world, how many of you may not be there, but how many of you know God is? And he has laborers right around where they live. And go ahead and turn into Matthew chapter 9. Dave would start us off with this passage, and I'm going to read. I printed out some things from the very first meeting that we had, where Dave himself instructed us, and I'm just going to. This is a transcribed of what he said. I'm just going to read parts of it. But there's two passages specifically that Dave would use when we first started calling in the lost. One of them here is Matthew 9. Okay, starting in verse 36. Well, actually, let's back up. Here's one. I don't like to miss an opportunity to show a revival. So let's back up to verse 32, because this is what we're after. So as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen in Israel. It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out devils through the prince of devils. But Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now notice three things. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. We need to do all three. Teach and preach and heal. Okay? But now notice, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now notice the instruction. Pray you, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he shall send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, what's amazing, the very next thing that happens in chapter 10, this is where Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, sends out the 12. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. It names them, and he gives them their commission, and the Lord of the harvest literally sends them out. That's not by accident. What he's showing there, the reason that's connected that way, listen, when you pray, you have a lost loved one in Idaho or Zimbabwe or wherever they are, and you begin saying, Lord, I'm not there. I can't witness to them. Of course, nowadays with the internet, it's a little different. But Lord, I'm asking you, send laborers into the harvest. Dave would say it like this, you know, God's smart. He knows who you're lost loved one will relate to. He'll send doctors to doctors, saved doctors to unsaved doctors. He'll send engineers to engineers. He'll send mechanics to mechanics. He knows who to send. So a good prayer to start, and that's part of what we do here, especially tonight. If you have paper and pencil, you might want to start coming up with some names of lost loved ones. If you don't have anything else, we have some. You could tear some of this or get paper from your neighbor or something. But if you have lost loved ones and you want to put their names down, we're going to call them in before the night is over. And I believe we should go ahead and put their names in the prayer box. But then be faithful to do it. So phase one that Dave would say is, this is a form of intercession to ask the Lord, send laborers into the harvest, Father. I'm not there myself. I know you have laborers in Alaska and Hawaii and Borneo and wherever they are, you know. And the Lord will answer that prayer. He will send them the same way that we see here in Matthew 10 where he sent them out. So that's connected with that prayer. All right, the other place that Dave would take us is go over to Mark 11. And of course, it is that familiar passage. Starting in verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I'll go ahead and read this part too. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Well, what are we desiring in the context now? We want so and so to be saved. I want my relative to be saved. I want my friend to be saved. Father, I'm asking you to send laborers into the harvest. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He's going to answer that prayer, and that person is going to come in. Now, it's not overriding their free will. Some people got mixed up along the way and said, well, you're overriding their will. No, not really. Even God won't do that. If he was ever going to override anybody's will, he would have slapped Adam down on the way to the tree. Isn't that right? No. But see, I figure most people's got a little bit of sense. And if they ever really understand the gospel, you have two choices. You can burn in hell forever, or you can give your life to Jesus. Most people will give their life to Jesus if they really understand the gospel. And most people will not knowingly jump into a volcano lake of fire. But that's exactly where they're headed. And they don't know that's where they're headed. But the gospel is sent on purpose to rescue them from that. So it's not an overriding of their will. It's a continually sending laborers. I've prayed things like this. I said, Lord, don't leave them alone. They can't even get gas at the gas station without somebody talking to them about Jesus. They can't buy a stick of gum without somebody telling them about Jesus. And wear them down, God. Wear them down. Because we're trying to rescue them from hell. I mean, this is serious business. And most people, if they see a lake of fire right there, and they're definitely headed right for it, if they find an escape route, most people will take it. Isn't that right? So, not overriding their will, but we're giving them every opportunity. And lots of laborers going after them. But our prayers matter, otherwise Jesus would not tell us to pray that. Our prayers matter. It makes a difference. Okay. So with those two things in mind, so say it with me. I believe that what I say comes to pass. And I believe that when I pray, I receive the answer to my prayer. And I receive it then, and I shall have it later. Sometimes not very much later. Hallelujah. That's what he means. He said, you shall have it. You believe you receive it? You shall have it. All right. So, this is a transcription from, it's an excerpt from the very first service that we ever had on Calling in the Lost. This is Dave speaking. What I wanted to teach you is just a simple confession. Just the fact that you are making the confession is all you need to know to make it work. But we ought to just stop right there. Because most people do not believe it's that simple. Is that not what Jesus said? If you shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Dave said it this way, Just the fact that you are making the confession is all you need to know to make it work. Because God is looking for people who will lend to Him their authority for Him to use it to do what you are saying when you are saying what He wants. When you say what He says, it shall happen. Okay? Do you remember what He said about the Lord of the harvest? Yes, Dave, we do. We just read it. The laborers are few, and the harvest is plenteous. Pray the Lord of the harvest. If God wanted them saved more than we do, why didn't He just do something Himself? Why bother with it? Is that the authority was transferred from Jesus Christ to us, His body, here on this earth. Where we don't move, God doesn't move. Boy, there's a ton of revelation right there. Where we don't move, God doesn't move. That's why He said, "How shall they hear lest a preacher be sent?" How beautiful are the feet of them that carry these glad tidings of good news. What we don't bring, they can't hear. We instigate the truth and send it forward by every means. And no matter how we do it, whether it's by telephone, by television, sending a wire, a book, leaflets. Now, this was 21 years ago. MP3, WAV file, video, YouTube, Facebook. However they hear the word, they hear it. And then faith comes in. Until somebody does that, they will not hear. So if you pray the Lord of the harvest, that is the same as Him saying, "Well, you gave me the authority to move now, and I will move." When you pray for a loved one, oh my God, you send angels after them, and you send God after them. If necessary, when you get strong enough about it, Jesus will walk in and talk to them about going to hell. And I've heard testimony. How many of you remember Norval Hayes' daughter Zona testimony? She was messed up on drugs for years. And at first, Norval did just what all of us parents do. "We didn't raise you like this. You know better than this. You shouldn't be doing this. No. That wasn't working at all." So finally, in prayer, the Lord gave Norval an instruction. He says, "I want you to say two things to her and then zip it." "What do you want me to say?" "I want you to tell her that you love her and God loves her. And then I want you to shut up." Norval said, "That's the hardest thing in the world." She'd come in strung out on dope. And all he could say to her was, "God loves you and I love you. Good night." I don't remember now how long that went on. It went on for a while. But then one night, God, because of the obedience, one night Zona is in bed. Something, she comes, wakes up for some reason. And there's a 12-foot angel sitting Indian style right next to her bed. She thought she was still high. It says, so Zona says, she covered her head up with the sheet. "This can't be real, this can't be real, this can't be real." She pinched herself. "Ow, oh, I'm awake, okay." Pull the sheet down. Angel still sitting there Indian style by the bed. He never said a word. Norval says, "When you're 12 foot tall and you just came from heaven, you don't have to say nothing. All you got to do is show up." That angel sat there a while, never said a word to her, just looked at her, scared her spitless, okay? Just scared her. Finally, it stood up. But when it stood up, it was so tall from like the middle of his chest up. It was up into the ceiling. And it just turned, went out her door, down the hall, walked through the wall, and it was gone. Never said a word to her. Norval says later, she said, she come running downstairs and beating on my door going, "Daddy! Daddy!" Sound like a little mouse. "Daddy! Big Daddy." It was really big. Big! It knocked on me. It just sat there. It looked at me, Daddy. It looked at me. Long story short, She never had another dose of dope in her life. He said, when an angel comes, it doesn't have to say nothing. All it's got to do is show up. Scared all, Edway Norville says, it scared all the dope devils out of my daughter. But see, that's the kind of thing. I mean, if you persist in this, I don't care if God has to send an angel. If he says, and Dave says, even Jesus will come. Jesus, if need be, he'll come himself in a vision form. He'll minister to that loved one if you will not give up. Okay. Let me read that sentence again. If necessary, when you get strong enough about it, Jesus will walk in and talk to them about going to hell. And you're the one that caused it. He came because of your authority. Some of you have been experiencing that to some degree. One lady has been getting calls from her relatives that are breaking down under the pressure, wanting to come back and be born again and serve God. And she's awfully happy about that and says, oh, this stuff works, doesn't it? Yeah, you bet it works. So when do we stand and begin to worship God and call the lost in? No, I'm sorry. So when we do stand and begin to worship God and call the lost in, our intention is to slide into that worship to where we become one with it and it becomes one with us. Where God is actually, through His power and anointing, dictating these things through us. Now this is what He said when He talked about, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you doubt not where, Dave asked, where? In your heart. Then you have what you say with your mouth. If you doubt not where? Your heart. You have what you say with your mouth. What saying it with your mouth does is generally it finally pulls your heart in. Did you get that? See, the first time, the first time Abram, when after God changed his name, because God was going to have to do a supernatural miracle in Abram's body. I mean, in the natural, there was no hope at all, 90 years old or whatever. And almost 99 years old, if I remember right. And stand in front of the mirror, it's not a pretty picture. Sarah had already passed the time of the way of women. So God has to work a miracle. So what does He do? He changes what Abram says. You thou shalt no more be called Abram, thou shalt be called Abraham, which means I am the father of a multitude. Sounds like a liar, doesn't it? But you're just saying what God said. You're agreeing with your mouth with what God said. And I would think the first time Abram ever said, I am Abraham, I bet he felt like a liar. And I bet he doubted in his heart. I can't prove that. But if you're consistent with it, see, when God changes your name, now it's every time you meet someone, every time you go anywhere, he had to get his credit card changed. I mean, new driver's license. Okay, it's over time, saying it, it pulled his heart in. Remember also, God had given him a vision to look at the stars and the sand. Your seed will number like this. We have a lot of teaching on that. So the way Dave says it, he says, what saying it with your mouth does is generally, it finally pulls your heart in. It may take a little while. But once your heart is pulled in the process, then it reverses and you finally get what you're saying with your mouth. This is why it may take you 30 minutes of giving yourself to Him and His anointing and Him to you. But once you are in there, He is taking your authority and doing incredible things with it. Jesus will become to this church what you call Him. Jesus will become to you what you call Him. Of course, you know Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go ahead and go on over there if you got your Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. Here it is. So it's Ephesians 5, starting in verse 17. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, how do I do that? Brother Dave, how do I get filled with the Spirit? I mean, I can shandai along with the best of them. What are you talking about here? Well, so could the Ephesians. What are you talking about? Speaking to who? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So David, talking about that passage, says, of course, you know, Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but on the other hand, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. He said to not be drunk on wine. The world has to get drunk on wine to cope, but you do not have to. There is a place in the Spirit where when you keep confessing His word over something, what you are doing is ministering to yourself, to your own heart. See, we all know God didn't change Abraham. He didn't change his name in order to get God to believe it. I didn't get any amens at all. Did y'all get that? He didn't change Abram's name in order to get God to believe it. He changed his name so Abram had to say it so Abraham would believe it. That's good. That right there was worth coming for if you get that now. Well, Dave says it. You're not actually moving God. You are moving yourself into a place to line up with God. That's why he says you can be drunk on the new wine by ministering to yourself over and over in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, things that come from the Spirit, like what I'm about to give you, and we're going to do that next. You keep ministering that over and over and over until eventually it will move your heart, because it is your heart that you're ministering to. And as soon as it is able to move your heart, your heart lines up with God's heart, and that incredible authority comes. Then 1,000 angels can go through this city at one time and usher sinners in. See, that's why we keep calling in the lost, calling in the lost. Gary, it's been 21 years. We're calling in the lost. Going to keep doing it from the time that I did a study one time, from the time that God showed Joseph that vision of his brethren and parents bound down to him until the time that actually happened was 22 years. So we haven't even made it to Old Testament faithfulness yet. Okay. Now, I may be wrong on this. Abraham, I think, was 75 when God first told him about what was going to happen. And he was 99 when it did happen, right at 100. Now, I'm not saying that it always takes that long, but what does it matter? You're an eternal creature anyhow. You're already living in eternity. This existence is the shortest part of your life right now. This is, you've already done all the dying you're ever going to do. You're going to slip this body off for a new one one of these days and live with God forever. Amen. So let me read that sentence again. So once your heart lines up, it says, then a thousand angels can go through this city at one time and usher sinners in. Then the glory will fall to meet them. And that's what revival is about. Praying in tongues transforms you enough so that I don't believe any of you are going to give in to the devil's beatings. Well, that was optimistic. Looking around the room. The devil's beatings take quite a toll, don't they? The devil will take your persecution to a new level because you're doing this. You'll know if you don't pass because you won't be here. You'll know if he can't use you for revival because your circumstances will beat you out of it and you'll stop. You didn't know Dave was a prophet, did you? He sure told the truth right back at the beginning of this. All right, so this is what he says. Now, this is the first time. This is February 8th, 1997. And Dave, he offers up this prayer. So at this point, Let's see. Let's pray it. I'll read it, and then you can say right after me. It's just praying to the Father about this. Father, you know why we are here. We are here to present the lost to you. And we are here to receive your glory through that authority. We want to see the outpouring of your glory that constitutes your presence like a cloud. We want to see the sinner come and never be able to escape that glory. We want angels to be free to bring them in. We want people to be in tune to bring people in. We want all of these things. We present all of these things to you, Father. And now we're going to worship you for it. Father, we glorify you. We praise you. We thank you for the lost coming in. We're calling the lost in. And we glorify you and worship you. And we thank you for your glory. Father, we're calling the lost in. You are not a man that you could lie. You have exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth will pass away. But your word abides forever. You said we could have what we say. We're calling the lost in. We thank you for the presence of your glory. We're calling the lost in. And we worship and praise you that you're not a man that you could lie. We thank you and praise you and worship you for your presence and your glory. Satan, you are bound. You loose your hold from off these people. Satan, we're calling you bound in the name of Jesus. But Father, we're calling on the glory of God. And we are calling the lost in. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We glorify you for the presence of your glory and for the lost coming in. Satan, you turn them loose. I bind you off of them in the name of Jesus. And I'm calling the lost in. Thank you, Father, for your glory. Now, in the actual service, we actually went into worship. And you can do this at home. It's good to do it at home. Sometimes you'll get into this. And if you really step over, get beyond your emotions a little bit, you get lost in it. Time will just go by. Now, then Dave finishes this up with saying this. Now, once you get into it and give all your attention to Jesus, all of your attention to him, your mind will stop wandering down the street. It'll wear out. You won't be solving problems from yesterday, but you'll be in the presence of the King. You'll get raptured into it eventually. You'll get caught up into it until you feel that authority. And after a while, you'll be elated when it starts showing up in the services, and you'll go, I think I did that. I think I had a part to play in that. And you'll find that he will start taking care of other problems for you as well. Isn't that something? Now, that's all that I brought from that first service. But I remember what we did in particular. And Dave had several names of aunts and others, cousins, that were not saved. And he was sure they were not saved. So Dave wrote down a few names, and he asked each of us, if you've got a loved one or a relative that they need to be born again. Now, we'd say, we don't want them just saved. We want them 1 John saved, you know. You know what I mean by that. So if you have paper and pencil, if you have loved ones, and this is, you can put healing on there or anything, but really what we're talking about primarily here is the harvest of salvation. I've got a family relative in particular I'm thinking of that if he's saved, he's very nominally saved. I want him 1 John saved. I want him on fire. I want him, and God wants him like that too. God wants everybody like that. So I know I'm praying. I'm not overriding his will. But Father, if you send an angel to Zona, you can send an angel to him. Wouldn't that be something? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this would be, so you can write down some names and then we're going to hold them up and specifically petition. So praise the name of the Lord. We got plenty of time. I see, that's also why we do the confessions. Do y'all recognize some of the confessions even in what we did there? Your word abides forever and so forth. But this is, Dave tasked me with coming up with these confessions, which they underwent several revisions at first. But then Dave said, this is what we want. And so we've been doing it ever since. And I'm telling you, the day's coming, we will have every sentence that we have been speaking exactly the way we have been speaking it. We'll have it exactly. All of it. All of it. Not 80%, 100%. All of it. God is not playing. And this is real. It's how he creates everything. He conceives and then he speaks. And then it is. Amen? I see people still writing, so now I'm going to sing. No, I'm not. Gotta have some fun. They don't have to pray healing for your ears. We don't have time for that. You know? Hallelujah. No, wait, I don't want anybody left off because we rushed here. So, see, there's another salvation happening right there. Writing down another name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I don't know who was praying for me. I had so walked away from the Lord. My testimony. I was raised in church. I know my mama always prayed for me. I had praying grandmothers. I'm a Baptist. I had praying Baptist grandmothers and praying Pentecostal grandmothers, you know. But I know in heaven somehow those prayers were effective. They had something to do with Michael Muccio coming to my office. There's a connection there. I may not know till I get to heaven who it was. Somebody was praying. And somebody answered. And he sent a laborer to my business. To my business. Who would think he sent a laborer to my business? What I mean, he'll send somebody you can relate to. And he'll get you right where you are. Get you. God will get you right where you are. You know, he got me in the office of my real estate business, you know. So praise the Lord. Okay. All right, so just you can hold up the paper as a point of contact or your phone if you've got them in your phone or just however you want to do it. Just say after me, Father, I'm lifting up this person, these persons, to you. Father, I'm praying like in Matthew chapter 9. Lord, I am praying that the Lord of the harvest send laborers into the harvest after these people. Father, go after them. Loose all the resources of heaven to go after them, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, everywhere they go, you have laborers. People you have handpicked. People that will be effective. That will say the right thing. Say it with the right attitude. Say it with the right anointing. And Father, I call these people saved. And I call them 1 John saved. Really born again. New creatures in Christ. Belonging completely to you. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I believe that you hear me when I pray. And I believe I received the answer right now. And Father, I shall have it. I shall hear the report that they got saved in Jesus' name. From this point on, I say with my mouth,
And I believe in my heart these people are saved. I'm calling them saved. I'm calling them saved. I have what I say. And I believe it in my heart. I say it with my mouth. And I call them saved. I put them in that place called done. It is done. Because you heard me. You answered me. It is done. And I call them saved. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Now, if you want to, just go ahead and bring your papers up and let's just put them in the box. We got time. Hallelujah. Come on up, put those papers in. Because people are all during the week, people that are retired or their jobs allow it, they come by here and they pray, they lay their hands on this box, and the anointing I know travels through there. Hallelujah. Get so many people praying here. We'll move heaven and earth. I believe we're going to hear about angelic visitations. Glory to God. If you send an angel after Zona, he'll send an angel after your loved one. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So that's really where these prayer center confessions come from. And we've made very little alterations in them over the years for that reason. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you, as I read these now, so many of the things, the mysteries that I did not understand 21 years ago when we prayed these things, we've taught them now. We understand them now way more than we did then. So he's given us the understanding of it. Then we're going to, oh, would you hear that? I heard that sound. Power in those tongues right there. Glory to God. Phew. Got a little chill right there. Shanda Mahanda right there. Hallelujah. Had a young lady, it's just in the last couple of weeks, a really sweet girl. I mean, she was maybe this tall. I don't think she was over 15. She wasn't sure if she had tongues or not. She said, would you listen and see? Okay. So she started praying. The anointing was so strong, I nearly went backwards. I said, honey, I think you got it. Oh, my Lord. All right. So now every time you think of them, and I'll tell you right now, when you hear a bad report, yeah, we called their name in at calling in the lost. Now I heard they got drunk the very next night. Do not be moved by those kind of things. We are the people that live by faith and not by sight. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they do. Well, it doesn't matter. But it's not, don't let that affect your confession. Okay, hallelujah.